Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Insider, brought to you, as ever, by Vanishing Ink. My guest today has done many things that begin with the letter F. Fectors, Foolus, Fism. He does it all. Stage, close-up, social media, quick change. Oh my, it's Jackie Yu. Jackie, how are you this morning?
Oh hi. Thanks for having me. I'm very good. I'm very good right now. It's 7 a.m. in Las Vegas. Yeah, everything's good. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for agreeing to do it. I appreciate it. What's your magic origin story? You have 24 seconds.
Yeah, 24 seconds. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I started magic when I was 15. My friend showed me a simple coin trick called French rub. Yeah. And then I got into magic. I really loved it. And after, I've been doing magic for 17 years. Yeah, 17 to 18 years. Yeah. And now I'm here.
Korea. You've made it to my podcast. Yeah. Success is yours,
right.
Finally.
Yeah.
Now living in Vegas, right? What are you working on? What are you working on there?
So right now, I'm just working at home. Yeah, just making lectures and also doing some virtual shows and mm-hmm. still creating magic for social media. Yeah, yeah, a lot of things to do.
you do everything, close up and stage and quick change. You said that close up is your favorite. Why do you think that is?
I think because when I was young, I don't have no money. I have no money, and I just a deck a card or this coin, and I can practice and show magic, a lot of magic to my friends, and it was good. And so that's why I love close-up magic, and also I love creating small stuff with my hand and craft. I use craft skills to create mm-hmm. magic. That's one of my favorite parts. So that's why I love close-up magic. Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
You've also studied Muay Thai martial arts. Do you think the discipline of the martial arts has helped your magic? Or
yeah, I think so. Because when I learned martial arts, they taught me a lot of postures, how to pose and how to punch it and everything. And that helped me when I perform magic on stage. And also, when we learn some close-up magic, also card magic or coin magic, and there's some basic postures and we follow. So I think after I learned martial arts and then magic, so it helped me to learn this kind of basic postures mm-hmm. Better. Yeah, I guess.
Your social media game is so strong. Did you get help starting that up? Or did you just kind of make it up as you went along?
Basically, my wife is also a magician. Ellie. And so we brainstormed together every day. And after we posted, during the pandemic, I started posting my videos. Mm. And my friends, now it's my friend, Xian Lim, and also Chris Ramsey, and many other magicians' friends helped me to share my content. So luckily, I got many followers. Right now, it's been blessing, and I really love my social media presence.
You mentioned lockdown, and do you think, in a weird way, that COVID has actually helped you, because your creative output seemed to go up and up and up during the height of the pandemic? So do you think it was actually something good for you in a strange way?
Yeah, in a strange way, it was good. Because, I didn't know what to do as a magician.
Right.
We don't have no shows, and everything stopped. Everybody just wear mask. And when I went outside Las Vegas, and there's no people, it was crazy. So, that's the reason why I started post videos. And actually, the comment section, and there are so many people, recommended me, you should do something like this or do something like this, and this is my advice. And there are tons of advice, and there are tons of feedbacks, and it really helped me a lot and pushed me forward to create magic. So it changed me in a good way.
So in the midst of something horrible, something good can come out, sometimes. Which is a lovely thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, so I love
What advice would you give to the listeners of this show to help improve their social media presence?
Social media presence. So yeah, I think one of the I think consistency is very important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes, you know, when you create magic, I think sometimes it didn't look good, or you know, sometimes you don't want to post it because it's not that great, but sometimes it's hard to say.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
Do you do much? Are you just putting the content out there, or are you doing hashtag things and commenting and following people back? What's your strategy?
I use a lot of hashtags. When I started to post videos, my magician friend gave me advice that mm-hmm. You should use hashtag. So that's how people can see the video. I didn't even know that because I'm not like a social. I didn't like social media.
Right.
But after it changed me, so that brought me so many people, and also and I heard if you make the content for the biggest creator or biggest page on social media, and there's an opportunity that they can share your video. Yeah, so that's there are so many opportunities. So you just think different. Mm. You know, when you perform magic, you just focus on your things and just audience. But here it's just a more broad, and there are so many opportunities, and you should think about that.
Keeping a social media presence like you have can be a full-time job. What's your process for continually coming up with new creative ideas?
So every day I struggle to make content. I always make content to people the magicians also love, because mm-hmm. I'm like a maniac. So and also I want to entertain the audience. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to make content every day. But so I did a lot of variations every day. So sometimes I post similar, but I noticed there's a one improvement. So that improvement and gather, and one day I can make something really great content. I hope.
So you mentioned something about the next question, actually, which is, are you aiming to fool other magicians, or are you focusing on being entertaining and the fooling just happens naturally? What's your what's your main goal?
Main goal. Main goal is just for everybody. So everybody can enjoy the video. Yeah. So that's my process.
You mentioned your wife, Ellie, who is also a magician. Now, most of the people listening to this, the ones that are married, their partners will not be magicians. So do you think overall it's a good thing or a bad thing having a partner that's a magician?
First time when we met, we both magicians, and we had different thoughts about magic. So we argued a lot of time. But after we passed that kind of time, and we figured out how to talk and how to brainstorm. So now it's really helpful. So I think most of ideas, and she helped me polish it and look better. Mm-hmm. And also she can see the different perspective that I can't see it. So it's a perfect, I think.
How lovely. Now, different question. What sort of things, because you make a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. and 3D print things and craft and whatever else.
Yes.
But what sort of, when you leave the house, What sort of things are in your pockets? When you your everyday carry is the phrase. What magic do you always have with you?
So I think, I have a, normally I have like a car.
Mm-hmm.
And my notebook and iPad. And yeah, because I need to write something down, mm-hmm. My ideas. That's it. And one more thing is, I think, measure, tape measure. Sometimes, I normally go to hardware store.
Uh-huh.
Craft store and measure them if it's on my project or something like that. So I always carry my tape measure. it's funny.
But in terms of magic, just a deck of cards?
Yeah, just a deck of cards.
And so if you're at a bar or at a friend's for dinner, your stuff is crazy and creative and visual and unusual. But if you're with friends or at a dinner and you've got a deck of cards, what are you going to do with that deck of cards? Original material or classics?
Yeah.
What does, when you're not on TV or on Instagram, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Normally, I don't do magic for my friend, but I do some class tricks for my friends. It's easy to do and ambitious cards or some card tricks and card mouth and this kind of thing.
How good, you are human.
I'm human.
This is a relief.
I don't do any special things there.
That's great. That's made me feel much better. let's go back to Fool Us and the card trick with the sticker. Now, how did you come up with the idea for that? Because it's just an astonishing routine.
So sticker. Yeah, actually, the end of the routine, I wanted to switch the card. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, with a signed card and three aces. Yeah, at the time, I really. It was 2007. To 2008, so it's like 12 years ago, and I struggled to make this effect. At the time, my friend, my teacher, he's my teacher, Kasa, he told me, how about use sticker? So it's a sticker moves to the envelope, and after you reveal the three aces, and then the signed card is under the table, and a sticker is a great connection to this happen.
So
he gave me the concept, and after I thought about how to do it magically, and then I created so it's my theism act. My favorite act.
So during the development of that, were there specific problems that you had to overcome?
I think the ending, at the time I created a unique ending, but I stopped because it was too difficult and risky to perform on the stage. So so right now, it's more shorter than the original act. But I'm still struggling how to do it. But during the act, always... it's a problem. I wanted to do some really impossible magic at the time. I don't know, because I thought it's because of theism. And back then, 2006, there's a winner, Helder Guimaraes.
Yes.
His card act was so miracle. So after that, if I challenge the theism, I think I should overcome this type of act. So I wanted to make impossible card tricks. So every process was it's difficult, but
It was so worth it. It was so worth the problems that you overcame, because it's a stunning piece of magic. Let's talk about character. Yeah. How much of the Jackie Yu that people have seen on TV, on Instagram, that energy and that character is you.
Yeah.
I know it's early in the morning for you now, but you seem very pleasant. but it's not you're not the Jackie Yu character. Yeah. So what was that development of that character that character like?
Yeah.
How did you come up with it?
So first time, I love make people laugh when I started magic, and also I really love comedy magic, like mm-hmm. David Williams and Jeff Hobson, all these legend magicians. I really loved it, and so I wanted to be like them. And also, so when I was high school and middle school, I'm like this kind of person. I brought that character, so my personality to the show. So it started. That's how I started. Yeah.
So you were watching people like Williamson.
Yes.
Before you became interested in magic, or this happened at the same time? No.
Yeah. After. Yeah.
Right. Magic. Right. I thought it was some kind of high school defense mechanism. I can survive this if I'm a bit more like Williamson. So apart from Williamson and Jeff Hobson, what other magicians influenced your performing style, do you think?
Performing style, I think, Juan Tamariz. Mm-hmm. So I really loved it when I was a high school student. And also, I really loved Tommy Wonder, because I love his knowledge. Yeah, behind magic. It's just beautiful. And so I always, after I make it, and I always thought about in his sight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really helpful to create a better magic. And so many magicians. I really love, I love all genres in magic. So in stage magic, there are so many magicians, Norbert Ferrer and mm-hmm. Kenji Minamura. When I started, and they won season. Danny Cole, and also Eun-gyul Lee, he's a Korean magician.
Yes.
Charming Choi. Yeah, and all magicians, influenced me a lot to do, better.
What about magicians from the past? Who would you have loved to have seen perform who is no longer with us?
Oh. I really want to see Siegfried and Roy. Mm-hmm. Siegfried and Roy. Yeah, I really love watching their first appearance on Dick Cavett's show. I really enjoyed it, and I always when I saw it, I don't know how to describe, but it's something like
you felt it,
you know? I felt something. It was really good. I really want to see, with Tigers, and the Big Illusions is golden. It's like golden era of magic. Mm-hmm. I want to see it.
Now, here at Vanishing Ink, we obviously love magic books. What are some books that you think every magician should have on their bookshelf?
Oh, I think, so. Tablet Course in Magic. Because,
mm-hmm.
I didn't read books that much because, it's my excuse, but, my English wasn't good when I started out. So, at the time, I worked at the Magic Academy in South Korea. We teach magic.
Mm.
And at the time, there's a Tablet Course in Magic in English. So I always saw the pictures, you know. But it always gave me the ideas. There are close-up and stage and parlor and illusion, everything's in it. So I think, it's helpful. Definitely.
You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with that. But it's interesting. I wonder, in those early days when you were looking at Tarbell and your English was not so good, that helped your creativity, because you were just going on the pictures, on the diagrams, and you couldn't understand the words. So you had to
think, imagination.
What could I do with this and this? What does this mean?
Yes.
And I wonder whether that did help you become as creative as you are.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, just, you know, sometimes it's, when I make my feedback, envelope and cards, and there's some envelope tricks there. and there's some slit line, how to make slit. So it's these kind of basic things really helped me to create my FISM act and also other acts. So yeah, how to make like a how to sew something like a some secret pocket inside. Yeah, everything. Yeah, that kind of images really helped me.
yeah. So there are going to be many magicians listening to this that are about my age, which is obviously very old, who are a bit scared of craft and making things. It was like, for me, it was never anything I was good at as a child. Do you think that's limiting our magic? Because I wouldn't know where to start to make a gimmicked envelope or to do, not suggesting your envelope was gimmicked, but to do that sort of thing. So how do you think you'd say to me and other listeners that are like me to start that process? Because it's daunting, it's frightening. So what are some baby steps, or are there some good resources? Do you know what I mean?
So yes, I know it. So I think basically, when I don't know some kind of object, I search it. My favorite part. So like, so last year, actually I didn't have any knowledge about flip cards,
right?
Or how to use some elastic thread or some dental dam or something like that. I have zero knowledge. But I had to create content every day. I don't know. I loved it. I love making videos. So yeah, I started to learn magic. So I just bought tutorials like Kaylee Morley and some other magicians, and they did a great job there. So after I learned it, and I just figured out how to use these simple things. And after redesign and modify the gimmick, or thought about different ideas. So first time I think you had this basic knowledge that what you want to do. So you just learned it, and then you can just modify.
It's not as difficult as I might think.
Yes. It, when you started out, it's not a difficult thing. But before I was frightened. I don't know what that kind of things or visual magic like this. Because when I started Instagram, and there are so many magicians use flat cards or and it's so many visual things. I was shocked how I started this kind of things. I didn't know how to start social media. But after I learned it, I thought, it's easy to make my own version. So that's how I started. So
Is that very important? Is that very important to you to take an idea and make it yours, to make it your version?
Yeah, I think that's I don't know. I really love it. Yeah, I wanna tweak it and I wanna modify it. And then one day I can create something cool or new.
So what's your thought process for that? So you download a tutorial from Honda or Morelli or whoever, and you've got your two cards and you've got your flap. So then how do you start thinking what to do to make this mine? What do you do?
For example, so last year I bought a piano project.
Mm-hmm.
Piano project is tutorial,
yes.
Kaylee Morley. Yeah, I really love the concept. And I didn't know how to use that kind of, I didn't know how to make this kind of gimmick. So I bought it. And after, I learned it, if I use this picture as a door, so I just changed the image, So, and after that, if I can open the door, that'll be cool. So it just change the image, but it's just the same trick. And after that, maybe I can create the trick, better trick with my variation.
Yeah.
I first time I just started like that.
That's great.
Yeah.
What excites you about magic today?
Today.
Well, at the moment, not specifically today, because it's very early for you still in Vegas. I don't mean I don't mean the 15th of November. I mean at the moment, what do you find exciting in the world of magic?
World of magic? Wow. Yeah, upcoming Vanishing Ink. Yeah, Magic Faster. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to be there. That's amazing. And I start just small things. I do something small things every day. And I believe one day that will change my life. And recently I post a video using optical illusion. So now, put some variation there. So I'm making one of the tricks right here.
Ah.
See? It looks like it floats in the air. Mm-hmm. See? But it looks like this.
Uh-huh.
See? Yellow and red and blue. See? But watch if I wave my hand. See? it makes. Yeah. Right? It's just something like this. Yeah. So, I create just a little variation.
That's so
little
cool.
Variation. Yeah. After. Yeah.
You're also going to be coming to Magi Fest.
Yes, Magi Fest. Yes.
What will you be covering at Magi Fest?
Covering?
Teaching. Sharing.
Teaching. So, one of my favorite original pieces. I do my best to bring some amazing stuff. Yeah, but I can't decide what to teach it.
There's too many things, Jackie. Too many things. And are you going to be? I think what people will find interesting is that a lot of magicians will think, he does social media magic. But you're going to be there and showing everybody that you can do it in real life as well as for a camera.
Yeah, something like that.
One of the best things about Magi Fest is the sessioning and the hangout in the lobby there. Is that something that you're going to be joining in? Are people going to be able to come and say hi and sit down with you and watch magic live? Yeah. Are you going to be joining in that sessioning?
At night?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, of course. Yeah.
See, that would be.
I love it.
That will be a wonderful experience for everybody. Yeah. We are out of time, Jackie, but we always end the show with four quick questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Favorite pizza topping?
I forgot the name. The red...
Salami? Pepperoni?
Yes, salami. Red... Pepperoni.
Pepperoni. Good choice.
Yeah.
Second, your favorite movie?
Movie, La La Land.
Third, your favorite people or person who makes music?
Danny Elfman.
And finally, who would you rather fight? One massive Andy Gladwin or 100 tiny Joshua Jays?
100 tiny Joshua Jays.
That was a very quick answer, Jackie. Very quick answer. You did. It's like you'd already thought about it.
Maybe. Maybe I can win.
Jackie Liu, thank you so much for giving me your time this morning. I really appreciate it. And I look forward
thanks
to
so
seeing
much.
You at Magi Fest in January.
Yes. See you there.
You take
thank
care.
You so
thank
much.
You so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you.